The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Rent, aka Dave from LA. Just want to thank you all for listening once again today. Today is Thursday, December the 31st, 2015. Just want to thank you all for listening today. And as always, before we get started on the show, just want to thank my man Scotty. Thank Black Talk Radio Network for a great year that we had in 2015, and looking forward to 2016 and moving on in the future as well, because this radio network is so, so important because of the sincerity that it comes to you with. It's priceless. And so I just want to send out my deepest appreciation to you, the listeners of Black Talk Radio Network and the Tando Radio Show listeners, and to my man Scotty, CC, and all of the other people that assisted me in getting here on the radio with Black Talk Radio Network. I really, really do appreciate, and all of the listeners that call in and listen, Brother Davis, Brother Bragg, my girl Debbie, Deborah, everyone, just, you know, my man Jerry, everyone that called. And I'm greatly, greatly appreciated. If I forgot your name, don't worry about it. I will thank you personally at some time in our lives in this journey, and also next time that I speak with you, because you mean so much to us all. And just want to thank you. So before we get into the show, just want to say, everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. Please tell your friends, tell your family about the network so that the network can grow. If there's anything that you can do to assist the network by way of making monetary donations or assisting in developing the network, that will be greatly appreciated, because in this time, in these moments, this network is so, so needed within our community, because there are so many things that we have lost in the past. And those things that we have lost in the past cannot go, in vain work, because we have to reinvent ourselves constantly because of the great heritage and legacy that we've had. We have to live up to and surpass our individual callings and our individual obligations to better one another and to better ourselves. And what better place to do it than here on Black Talk Radio Network. So please, everyone, continue to support it. I know you all have. Continue to help this network grow, because there's so much. There's more programming that's needed. There's assistance that Scotty needs in developing it, the overall network. And there's just so many things that is needed by the network, because we have a very, very diverse and very, very strong people that we actually cater to. The demographics of the show and of the network is for people that have been either misguided through propaganda, or misguided through the misdealings of history, so that we do not really live up to who we truly are. We just want to make sure that we facilitate each and every person within our community and within our families to develop them to who they're supposed to be, because that is no mistake. So, you know, we really do. If you look at all of the mainstream medias and the alternative media, there is very, very few that specifically are geared to the demographic that is one of the most, and is the most important demographic in all of the world. It's the parents of the world. So it's so, so important that we continue to nurture this into full fruition. And we can do that collectively together by your help and from the people that are sincere, bring them in, and so that we can have this where it should be operating at the light speed that it already travels at, so that everyone else can participate in it and fulfill their overall individual needs and calling. So continue to support Black Black Talk Radio Network. Also, go to Cando Radio Show on Facebook, which I don't care because they don't scare me. How can you scare me when I have not a heart of fear? So, from Facebook, you can go to Cando Radio Show and check out, Cando Radio Show. That's T-H-A-N-D-O Radio Show. There on Facebook. And you can see some of the articles that we posted there. And if you have any questions or comments or things that you would like to see in the future, you can let me know there. I haven't been on, the internet at all, as Scotty has said. We had to deal with, you know, we had just arrived in Texas and no more than just a week into it, which I kind of expected, which I kind of knew, some things was going to happen. We ran into a hurricane, our first hurricane, the family's first hurricane, but everyone is well, everyone is fine. There was no damage other than we lost, you know, power. The city that we live in was hit by one of the 11 tornadoes that came through, and just, you know, as you all know, we've had it. Lost a satellite. My internet dish was actually cracked, and so that was the only damage that was done, and just had no power for a while. But it was a very, very, you know, unique experience that I had last Saturday, the day after, on the 26th, with friends. Well, no, we were actually at family's house, and when it happened. And it was funny, that day, just before we get into the show, just to let you guys know, that day where I was, you know, on my block and where we live, it was extremely, extremely windy, okay? And so, you know, I didn't think anything different of that, you know, but it was extremely, extremely windy. Then we went one block over from, you know, where we live in our neighborhood, and two blocks over from our neighborhood, and it was still. No wind at all. Right away, I knew. I said, uh-oh, this isn't right. There's no way in the world that it should be windy on in our neighborhood and calm and not even affected by the wind at all. I, you know, said to myself, this must be tornado weather. And then it was extremely hot. You know, it was around 80 degrees, but it looked like it was 45 degrees out because it was real cloudy and overcast and everything else. So it gave me the first clue that this was going to be a unique day. And then, of course, later on that evening, the storms came through, and I heard my first tornado, something that I never want to experience again. But if I do, I'll deal with it as needed. So it was a very eye-opening experience, and it was funny because, as you all know, Cando Radio Show is about current events, global geopolitical events that are going on, and preparedness within our community, because that is an area that has really been neglected within our dialogues and in our agenda setting. So we put the Cando Together Radio Show for that, and to do that, you know, you have to be a prepper yourself. And I had all of my, you know, prep, you know, been preparing. This is one of the reasons why I moved to Texas. I wanted to move to Texas before the end of the year and the beginning of 2016 for various reasons. And you're going to see some of those reasons start to play out here in the future, and we'll talk about them. But knew where we were going into Tornado Alley, but it was funny. When we got here, you know, it's not even tornado season. And a lot of the weather, you know, inclement weather that you're seeing now is definitely a part of, in my opinion, is the weather manipulation that goes on by way of, you know, the same individuals that control a lot of other things. They graduated and they've been had the technology for a while for weather manipulation. And so this is just one of the, you know, events that are going to happen. I believe that they're going to continue to have weather manipulation. And so, you know, here in our family's here, and we were here, and of course I had all of my prep, but because we were so new here, everything was still in boxes. And so I had to, you know, with the lights out, it was funny, had to find some of, you know, my prepping stuff, and some of it I still haven't found because we had a lot of, you know, I had a lot of stuff moved. And so it was funny, it was the person that prepared but not prepared, because you can't get to it. It's like you know, water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. So it was funny, you know, laughed at it, but dealt with it. But we were fine. At least I had some of the essentials, knowing that we were going to be in a position of disadvantage if something happened once we got here, and lo and behold, it did happen. So no biggie, never scared, always prepared is our motto, and that's how we dealt with it. So just wanted to give you an update on what happened with us and how we dealt with it. It was real, real, you know, thank God no one was hurt. We did see some, you know, some major destruction. We saw a couple of cars turned over, a couple of cars in ditches. And, you know, checked on those vehicles, and they looked like they all were abandoned. So thank God, you know, no one got hurt. But I don't know about the cars that were turned over and everything else, but hey, this is just the part of living in Texas. So, but I'm happy to be here. And I really do look forward to meeting some of the Kando Radio listeners and the Black Talk Radio listeners that are here in Texas, and also some of the RDP and SGZ people that are living in Texas. Can't wait and put something together for those individuals that we can meet, because we are definitely going to have to stick together for what's coming down the pipe. So that was what was happening with us, and so glad we're here back on air, back home where we belong, and I truly did miss you all, and let's get this started. So today, let's jump into today's show. But before we jump into today's show, let's go to Kando Radio Show and look at some of the articles that posted for you guys. And, you know, I want to say this. One of the things that's funny where we live now is much, much different than L.A. as far as the speed of everything, as far as the Internet. So hopefully that will, you know, work out.
Hey, Brother Dave.
What I chose.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Scotty.
Hey, before you get started, I just wanted to say that, you know, I appreciate you. I appreciate Kando Radio Show, and I'm just so happy that you joined the Black Talk Radio Network family, and I look forward to a new year of working with you to get much needed information that you bring to our listening audience. So I just wanted to express my appreciation for you, Sister Cece, for introducing us and working behind the scenes as we try to improve, you know, the programming on the network. So thank you.
Man, Scotty, and I'm glad you're on, brother. And I thank you for the very same, and I greatly appreciate you. And, you know, I don't believe that anything is by coincidence. This is by choice. We chose to be here long ago. And there is no person I would rather be working with, because let me tell you, people don't know, Scotty is one of the easiest people to work with, and it's a pleasure to work with Scotty, and I love the format, and thank you for establishing Black Talk Radio Network, because it's a difficult thing. A lot of people only see one side of it. They only hear the programming that's there and what's the product. They don't understand the countless hours where you have to stay up, you know, and neglect yourself of sleep, food, and time with family and everything else. That's the price. But I thank you, brother, for being the warrior and not the soldier. And because a soldier can never do what a warrior thinks. And there are a lot of things that you think about that is so, so important, and it's actually nourishing to our people because you're thinking about it. And as you know, Scotty, I truly, truly appreciate you, and I look forward to developing it. Kando Radio Show, making it a better show, and working with Black Talk Radio Network from here on all the way out. This is something that's so, so important, and it's really a pleasure to work with someone that is as sincere as you. And so the feeling is mutual, brother, and I can't wait for us to meet. So thank you so much, Scotty. I definitely appreciate that and take that with great admiration, my friend. Great admiration. So 2016, we're going to definitely get into it and bring you as much as we possibly can. And as Scotty said, we're developing and growing from Kando to all of the programming on Black Talk Radio Network. And I'm going to try to, in the coming year, because, you know, I always catch Scotty's show like towards the end, getting ready. But I'm going to try to listen to more of the other shows, you know, when I can. But because when Scotty's on air, I almost call in and everything else. And so is always a great, great show, and I'm looking forward to it. I've heard a couple of other shows. I love them, but I want to spend more time, you know, listening, because it's so important in today's world that we collaborate and have collective prudence in a direction that is going to be fruitful for us all. So no one else that I would rather go to battle with than you, the Kando Radio Show listeners and the Black Talk Radio Network listeners, contributors, and the overall people that make the real things happen. They make the engine go, the energy of life. So today's show, let's jump into it. But before we get into today's show, what I wanted to do, I need to catch up on a couple of things since the last time that we were on. And just want to, there was one sister Watkins, Stephanie Watkins, what's going on, sister, sorry about that. Stephanie Watkins asked me a question, why did I choose Texas? And so I wanted to answer that question on air, because it was a great question. You know, I chose Texas for a couple of reasons. I chose Texas because it's very similar, you know, it's a large black population. And it's also centrally located. Yes, it has tornadoes and other things and challenges, but those challenges are something that can be mitigated. And I also chose Texas because of, you know, one of the real reasons. Let me tell you, if you are someone that do not believe in guns at all, just say you're someone that just, you believe that all guns should be taken away from the general population, or, you know, even if you're not to that extreme, you just don't believe that people should have them and everything else, which is fine. But I would always say, be careful of what you believe and what you push, because everyone's freedom ends where someone else's begins. That's one of the things that I live by. Not saying that everybody should live by, but I make people live by that for me. It doesn't matter what your beliefs are. But I make you and make everyone around me adhere to that to the best of my ability. And that best of my ability means everything. And what I mean by that is that your freedom ends where someone else's begins. Is that I try not to have my freedom encroach on yours, and I damn sure will not allow yours to encroach on mine. Doesn't matter who you are. And so, but if you're someone that is, you know, not a big believer in guns and everything, which I totally understand. I get it. It's, you know, you're right and everything else. But I would just say this. If you are that type of person, one of the best places that you could ever live, and I'm not saying that I am one of those people or I'm not one of those people. One of the best places that you can live is in a very gun-friendly state for a lot of reasons. And I'm going to give you one of the main reasons, a couple of main reasons here. One, you don't need to carry because everybody else has one. Two, if something ever does go wrong, like some of the generated mass shootings that you have right now, believe me, other people will be taking care of it while you're ducking and crying trying to get out of the way. But I believe that, you know, it's something that everyone has a primary right to be able to defend themselves, not only from an individual that is trying to forcefully invoke themselves on them, but also from a corporation and also from the federal rules of the so-called government, which I don't believe in. I mean, I know that they're there, but I don't give them energy. And, you know, because I know that they're, most of them, all of them, are misguided. Every single one of them are misguided. That's why they're in that form. Okay? So, Texas was a great state to live, to move to because of that, and especially because of where things are going economically, where things are going geopolitically, where things are going, also, what would I say? Conflict-wise, within this country. Yes, there, you know, it has a long history of a lot of things, but I'm cool. I could deal with, you know, whatever comes as far as that is concerned. But one of the most important things was that I realized in California that people were not prepared for anything. And what I mean that in California, everyone is, you know, they're prepared for an earthquake to happen once in a while, a major earthquake to happen every 10, 20 years, 30 years, and just last for a day or two. They are not prepared for any major event. What I mean by that is the infrastructure is not prepared, and definitely the people aren't. And when things go awry in this country, you have to look at where you're living and who's around you. And one of the things, like it or not, some of the people in Florida, some of the people in Texas, some of the people in Oklahoma, some of the people in different places, Alabama, the Carolinas in different places, they're more prepared for any event that happens, are likely to be ready to handle an event that happens because they have a preparedness mentality for a lot of different reasons. If you live in a state that has some real inclement weather or weather that's very, very threatening or challenging weather, then you are a person that's more prepared. And when things go awry in the coming future, your neighbors will be the ones that will turn from friend to feral. And that's very, very important to understand. People, at very desperate times, people go from civilized to feral very quickly. And if you're not prepared for that, it makes it much more dangerous because of not the overall event, but because your neighbors weren't prepared for it. In California, the people of California were not prepared for anything to happen on a magnitude that some of the people in some of the southern states are more prepared for. So that was one of the main reasons. And not only that, there is going to be a big push for Texas to actually secede from the Union. And I anticipate that they're actually going to have some assistance from Russia and some other emerging market countries in the future. Is that going to bring some difficulties? Yes, it is. But I think that the overall benefits and the opportunities from that are going to be something that you can mitigate or navigate your way through some of the adversities and have yourself in a position of advantage. And that's one of the things that you will always hear from me, is pushing the position of advantage. And so that was the reason, Sister Watkins, why I chose Texas, some of the reasons, and we'll go over some of the other ones. But yes, Texas, I do believe, will succeed from the United States. I think there's going to be a lot of southern states that's going to do it. They've already made the steps to do that by trying to repatriate their gold, which they'll never, ever get. But I think they know they're not going to get that. And just the overall direction from that, that they will be in more, they will be in a better position because they have an understanding of what real money is, because it's one of the oil and natural gas producing states in the country. But is there going to be some adversities with it? Yes. And I will deal with those just like I would deal with them anywhere in the country. Because one of the things is that I'm not leaving this country at all. Why would I leave here? Not putting anything down on any person that would want to leave. I understand it. That's, you know, your choice. I just hope that you made some real solid plan for that. And it's not just one that's a haphazard plan in the past 2 years, because then you're going to open yourself up for some real adversity, some real challenges. So, you know, those ties need to have been made, in my opinion, way before we talk about that, and we'll talk about it again. But Texas is going to offer some real opportunities for my family, for our community, if we leverage ourselves properly. And I believe that it's easier to get people that have to deal with some adversities, or have the foundation is somewhat set for that, even though it's shaky and fragile itself, is much better than trying to build it from the ground up, especially from people that are, you know, that have no clue, or nor do they really care about the things that are going on. And those people become extremely dangerous, because they will be the ones that they will remember what you said and look to you as a source for their unpreparedness. And it's many to deal with, then you have to really evaluate where it is that you're living in this time. So that was the reason. So don't want to put too much on that, but we have a full show for you. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get into some of the articles that are there, and we're going to get into the show itself. So I would love to hear from you guys once we have the show at any time, talk about anything, current events. A lot of stuff has happened since we last talked. And I would love to hear from you. If you can give us a call at area code 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032 pound. The Histar 61 will see you in the queue. Would love to talk to you. Got a lot going on in the world today, and we're definitely going to touch it when we come back right after this quick commercial break. This is the Cambo Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back in a minute.
Tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Cando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Lynch, aka Dave from LA. I'm still going to keep that. So, I just want to thank you all for listening to Cando Radio Show today, and want to jump into today's show. But before we do that, also want to give you an update on some things, and also remind you guys that there is a great Black-owned company that is selling some great seasoning that I use. It's called Uncle Fat Seasoning, and they still have products. And if you would like to get that seasoning, it's all natural seasoning for an all natural body. Great seasoning. I wouldn't endorse something that I don't use myself. That is not absolutely. I absolutely love it. Pretty much put it on everything. You can actually purchase Uncle Fat by sending them an email at getunclefat@gmail.com. GetUncleFat@gmail.com. Great small black business that you would be helping. So check out the seasoning. We also have it posted on Cando Radio Show. You can check it out. The stuff is really, really good. So we just wanted to give that. Also, I talked to on last Saturday before the actual inclement weather that we had to deal with. I talked to Dr. Alexander, and Dr. Alexander is currently still out of the country and is working on the development of the country, his company, and he's going to come back. So he did not forget. He wanted to express to you guys, wanted to wish you all of you that do celebrate Happy Holidays, Happy New Year, and that he's looking forward to working with the Black Talk Radio Network and Cando Radio listeners in the future, and we're going to, once he gets back and gets everything situated, which he's currently in the process of, you know, growing the business, once he gets back, you know, because some unexpected things had came up and it required his services outside of the country, and once he gets back, he's going to get back to the sales reps, he's going to get back to the professional services and definitely the investors. Because of things and everything that he's doing, things have only gotten better, and the opportunities that his surveillance and security company has really, really taken off. And he wants you all to be a part of that ride, because he definitely believes that you all were instrumental in that, just from your harmonic energy and everything else. Dr. Alexander wanted me to express to you guys that he didn't forget about what he wants to do and the work that he wants to do with us all. So as soon as he gets back in country, we will definitely kick that off, and it should be relatively soon if everything continues to go the way it is going. If it's going to be a little longer, as soon as he possibly can, we will definitely take care of it. So I just wanted to express that to you all to let you know that you haven't been forgotten, and I still have all of the emails and everything else. So let's get into today's show. And before we do that, a couple of articles that I wanted to make sure that you caught that are what I think are extremely important. I think it's been touched by some other people, which is really, really good. But it's so, so important that we all are touching California tomorrow, the 1st of January. There's an article out of the Washington Times where the basically California will allow the seizure of guns without notice or without any due process starting January 1st. And how it's going to work is that if someone says that a legal gun owner is having some anger issues, or they get into a, you know, into an argument or a fight with them, and they have a weapon, and they can say, hey, well, that person, individual person, may have some mental issues, and because of that, then without any due process or being charged with any kind of crime or anything, they think that they have the right to seize that individual's weapons. And this is one of the things that you're going to start to see is going to be the cascading events and the avalanche of gun, basically prohibition of guns that will come about in the country. And California is definitely going to lead it. And California leads for a lot of reasons, because they believe, a lot of the corporations believe, that the demographics out of California gives an indication of where the country goes. A lot of companies, what they will do is they will test their business ideas, their programs, their research and development, and their individual projects in California. And because of that, they believe that they have an idea how things do in California kind of spreads itself throughout the country. So in this case, what they wanted to do is that they wanted to introduce, because they can in that state, because that state is a very, you know, it's, I hate to say it, it's a state that allows the establishment to push them in any way. And the people there, because of so many reasons, they're stuck on the freeways all the time. They have too much things, too many things to do, and so they're really not worried about much of anything. But and this is one of the another thing is that once a culture has been established somewhere, it's very, very difficult to change that culture, because the people will generally fall into line of the culture, because this is where the old saying of the safety in numbers. The safety in numbers is not for you. The safety in numbers were actually for the manipulators and the controllers of the herd. Because when you keep the herd all together and tight, when you start to move, all you have to do is lightly move some of the individuals of certain areas, and the rest of the mass will move with them. So the safety in numbers has never ever been for that individual person. And it's actually opposite of anything that should be safe for you, because if that was the case, then the great creator God Almighty would have made you in multiple sets at your birth, and, you know, individually, you would be a multifaceted person, or you would have many people identical to you, even beyond being twins. You would be clones or multiple people. But no, one is enough. Because everything that you ever need in life is already given and blessed to you by the great creator, no matter what your form is as you come here. So, in California, they wanted to test this out, where they are going to, well, they're not testing it out, they're actually enacting it, and they're going to exact it. This is nothing more than an exaction. What they're doing is that if a legal gun owner is questioned, and it's so vague, and they do all of these things from NDAA to the Do Not Fly list, and all of these things now are really, really vague, because they're vague because the overall progression of tyranny within this country is starting to speed up, and it's not going to slow down. It's only going to speed up, because they're going to come up with another threat that they're going to need to take more and take more and take more, when they are actually the ones that are orchestrating and creating and actually doing the acts of terror, and also invoking the conditions in which the people will actually be begging for relief from a situation that has been artificially created by them. So in California, they're going to start to take guns because it's going to go from mental illness questions, then it's going to go to the state of does this person need one, is going to be so vague as to, or is this person capable of having one, is you know, is going to actually be a board, and they're going to, of course, everyone, this is going to be a progressive move to disarming that whole state. And believe me, some of the people there will not play by those rules, but a lot of people will. And those individuals that do, and they give this false sense of security, and they have this false, this blind faith into this government. And I've always said it, the blind faith is the first misstep to genocide. These people, you don't know history if you don't know what governments do when the people are afraid of the government and the government is not afraid of the people. This is where you start to have genocide, and this is where you start to have real oppression and tyranny. And they will give you all of the theatrical speeches, and they will give you all of the reasons why they need to do what they're doing. And they even tell you they're going to do this and you have no choice. And there is no such thing as you not having a choice. And these events that you've seen in California and the events that you've seen throughout this country have all been created to create the environment that you're starting to see play itself out now. This stuff didn't just start happening. Well, this stuff just really started happening and becoming as popular as it is for a reason. It's because the time was right. And this is, they have a bunch of people that are compartmentalized and cowards themselves that have sold their soul. They tell you a real sellout is someone that will sell their morality for someone else's agenda. So you have a lot of these politicians and a lot of these organizations that are getting either directly or indirectly benefit from this, from prestige to fame to actual funding to position to security of jobs and everything else. And this is what they always do. They have a immunity sense of authority. They create the law that they're immune from, that you have to adhere to it. And a lot of people don't really take a look at that. And you think about it. They're saying that they want to cut back on mass shootings. Well, these government entities have been pillaging and have been running through this globe through their wars, and they've been the mass murderers for centuries. And the people never look at that. I always say this. You want gun control? Cool, that's fine. But the first place you need to start is within the government itself. It's mighty funny that they're going to say that you can't have any weapons, and if you do have any weapons and you don't comply by their rules, even though you may have not committed any crime, and if you don't submit or surrender to them, they're going to send people with weapons to actually, they're actually going to bring the terrorist act and the draconian and the criminal act to you. So if you don't bow down to us, we will bring forth a violence against you. And it's so, you know, hypocritical. You know, these people actually, they want to start gun control, then they need to start within their own policies of governance first. They run through so many countries by invading them and destabilizing them, you know, threatening them with force, and then when they don't comply, they come up with a bunch of lies and propaganda and they go to war with it. You see, a lot of the American people have settled for this, didn't even know that that same dog is going to turn on you. And now that dog is turning on you because it has an insatiable appetite to bite whatever, any and everything, because it's never enough. And these people that believe in this, these people that are pushing this, have no clue or are complicit themselves in this whole thing. They think that this is, you know, the best thing in the world, but they don't know history, and two, this is the most important thing. Who cares what you think? Who cares? I'm not going to commit to that. And you don't, you know, until people are in a position where they're no longer afraid of the government, and until they put the so-called people in place that are afraid of what the people will do to them, then you will always be bullied. You will always be bullied, and your lunch will always be taken from you. Just watch how many new taxes are going to come in. Just watch how many jobs are going to be lost. Just watch how painful the economy is going to get. And this is all going to be implemented by the same bullies that have been pushing the different things, especially one of them is the overall gun control, because they know that it's going to be a vehicle of contention in so many ways. One, it can cause actual civil instability, and that's what they want. And also hide the theft of the economy that they've been participating in. And most importantly, it provides for the people to fight among themselves and not look at who the instigator of the real evil is. So this is all contrived. This is what we have. And, Scotty, we still there? I don't know if I'm still on.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I just wanted to talk about that because I got knocked off. I was hoping I didn't get knocked off my phone. Okay, cool. So I just got knocked off. Okay. So, Scotty, we have any callers. Definitely let's go to them. Let me know because my internet knocked me off here. I'm going to get back on.
Okay, you got a caller from the area code 708.
Okay, let's go to that caller real quick, Scotty. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you calling from, and what's your name? I'm sorry. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, peace. It's Bragg. How y'all doing today?
Peace, brother.
What's
Bragg?
Up, brother Bragg? Brother, how you feeling? Good to hear from you.
All right, man. Hey, I just thought I'd touch base before we flip into the new year. Many things happening. You brothers do an outstanding job. You already know that. I don't have to say that. I know anybody who listens to this station know you guys go above and beyond. Information unparalleled. So I wanted to make sure
Thank
that before
brother,
the
Bragg.
Year was out, I touched down with you brothers before I go, because you brothers keep me working. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, you know what? And Brother Bragg, I always appreciate you and the other callers that call in with so much information. And this is what it's all about. You know, we want to get the people what it is that they need, because it's unselfish acts that are so, so important. You know, and it's the selfish acts that have been really, have run rampant through our community. And this is why we are in some of the positions that we're in, because we have forgotten the importance of establishing
community.
A legacy for the
community.
People that you know not. Yep.
But
the community that you
we've
know
lost
not.
It.
Yep.
Yes, sir. We've lost community.
Yeah.
We're getting it back now. Something's happening. We're getting community back. You know, I usually don't divulge this information, but I'm about to make 60, man. And the things that I'm seeing are the same things that I was seeing in the 70s, like 72, 73, 74, when things really were popping, things were really happening. I saw a lot of change, and that change was, well, we know it was a facade, but for a while, it was a lot of positive things happening. And those things are reoccurring, but I think this time it's going to go all the way. It's not going to be, I don't think they're going to have leaders that's going to be able to hold us back, cloud our eyes with the veils anymore. I think the truth is really going to set us free, man, no doubt.
Yeah, you know, but I'm glad you said that, because I firmly believe that too, because there's a different dynamics now. And one of the dynamics that I know that I try to preach is that we really need to have a leaderless movement. Because, you know, leaders, because when we have leaders, it's actually something that can be infiltrated and contrived of by the establishment. That's what they want you to have, because, one, when you have a leadership, then they know everything to go to, how to control everything, and they infiltrate that. And then not only that, a lot of the leadership that we've known through the past, I hope not to offend anyone, but the truth is the truth, like the Civil Rights Act, has been created by the same institutions that you thought you were fighting. Those very same
and listen,
institutions.
It's about 10 civil rights.
So that they can have
you know, it's about
advantage.
10 Civil Rights Acts.
Yeah.
You know, they got about 10 different civil rights bills just to make that. They've been promising these civil rights for so long, man. They started way back in the day. Someday, man, I'm going to be like you guys. I don't like to write things down, but I have the information at my fingertips. I'm going to start compiling information so I can post it on my Facebook page. Because some of this stuff, they had so many different civil rights bills. They all fell through.
they've been making us promises since this country, the reformation of this country after the Civil War, when the ADL, we're not going to even get too deep today, but you know, the ADL helped form the Klan, which is a whole, it's just a whole bunch of stuff that's, once people know all these things, they'll look at things differently. And when they start seeing who was controlling what and why, and that's the whole thing about an educated populace. A government never wants an educated people. That was the fight from the beginning. They will always suppress information to keep the masses ignorant so that they can control the masses. My brothers, you have to open the books these days so that your greatness from your fathers, because everything is put down for us. All we got to do is pick it up. It's in your DNA. All you got to do is pick it up. It's there for you. And stop this nonsense. That's another reason I wanted to call. Every black man, stop killing your brother. Now, I'm not talking to people who don't live that way, but brothers who've been picking up guns on each other, put them guns down. If you want to explode, explode where the problem came from. Stop turning these guns in on yourself. Stop being foolish. Pick up your books and educate yourself. If you educate yourself, you're going to stop killing each other.
Right.
And I'm done preaching.
No. You know, it has to be said. You know, it's something that we really need to do. It's so, you know, necessary. And a lot of people think that, well, how do you do it? Well, one of the things is that we have to stop being soldiers. Because a soldier takes orders. You have to be a warrior. A warrior plans. A warrior plans to maintain the freedom that they require themselves to live by. And their family, their community, and their culture to be free. And
they
need to really be warriors.
I don't even want to interrupt you. I just want to say this. Warrior, priest, scholar, father, brother, uncle, support system. That's what we all got to be. We got to take that burden on ourselves if we ever want to have our children out of this bondage.
So true. And you know, Brother Rags, I'm glad, once again, glad you brought that up, because, you know, I was looking at, you know, one of the reasons, you know, you talk about, from the standpoint of reparations, one of the reasons why we have not really progressed where we should are actually taking back some of the prosperity that was stolen from us. You know, you take the Indians, for example. Well, one of the things that the Indians have that we don't have is that, even though I don't agree with or that type of, you know, like, but one of the things that they were given the casinos, even though that there's always corruption and all in those type of things in there. But they were given casinos. One of the reasons why they were actually given something is because the Indians were willing to fight to the death for their freedom. And this is something that we have never engaged in collectively. Not talking about an individual, but we have not been willing to physically fight and physically shed blood and die. And I'm not advocating that. I am always advocating the self-defense of yourself and your family. If someone comes to threaten you and your family, there is much different than, you know, biblically a lot of people say turn the other cheek. Well, if someone is trying to smack you, it's different than someone trying to kill you. Totally. And if someone is trying to enslave you, you have the right to, and I do, I practice the right to protect myself and my family. And it's so important that we understand the reason why we are in the position that we are in is because we've never fought for the freedom that was blessed to us by the great creator. Once that blessing is given to you, or that is granted to you, you have to work to maintain it. And what is the cost of to maintain these things is that you have to fight mentally, physically, spiritually, and harmoniously. Because the attack for that energy that you have, the energy of freedom is so powerful. Other people are addicted to it and seize it and take it by force from you. You have to be able and willing to forcefully hold on to it and to take it back. And that's why we have no real form of reestablishment or any form of real legal recourse for what was done, because we have no fight to demand it. We always have a fight from a march, from a speech, from inclusion within the system. Never have we fought from, this is the line that I've established. If you cross this line by your actions of taking from our family, taking from our people, taking from our culture in a forceful way, we will meet you, push you past that line at all costs. Whatever the cost is, we will do it. We will destroy all of ours before you will destroy it. And this approach is not one that you can, excuse me, this is an approach that you cannot push around. It's something that you have to negotiate peace with. We've never had the negotiation of peace because we've never been on the battlefield of war. And I hate to say it's the truth, but the truth is the truth. There is a different way that bullies react than when they get punched in the face by someone that they've been trying to blunt or to beat to death. When you stand up and start fighting back, the bully has a different take. They always realize that maybe I should go pick on someone else that is easier. Maybe I'll find an easier prey. And maybe I'll find a victim. There's a difference between being a victim and being in a fight for your sovereignty. It's war. And that's where we've lost everything. And it's not just, I'm not advocating a physical fight for anything, but I am advocating a physical defense of everything. It's a big, huge difference. It's a huge difference. And there's a lot of, you know, Brother Brad, there's a lot of Christians that I know that they couldn't even hang with Jesus from their approach with, you know, with guns, for instance. They never read
you gotta remember this,
22
man.
Verse 36.
You got to remember this. And I read this all the time, and it's so true. They came with the Bible. They left with the land. But not only did they come with the Bible, yep. They came with firearms. They came with firearms against people who were peaceful people, who were living peaceful existence in higher cultures and civilizations than them. And when you speak of those Indians, that some of us are those Indians, and some of us have always been fighting and never going to stop fighting. But the other point to that, when they talk about taking your guns, are they going to put down their guns? I'm just asking this common sense type things. Because see, you can't be a dictator or a ruler without all the power. Now, when the people have a little power, that makes it a little harder to run over. And I guess when this country was set up, it was supposed to be checks and balances. We were supposed to be able to have militias, to form militias if necessary, and that power was put in to keep everything, the game even, to keep, you know, everybody had skin in the game. But if you take all the guns from the people, then what is the government then? Is it a dictatorship? What does it become?
Right. It becomes an occupying force, which it always has been. You know, one of the first things that you do in combat is once you capture your enemy, what's the first thing that you do?
Disarm. Anything that's a weapon. Any sharp instrument, anything that can be construed as a weapon.
You disarm them of that. And then what do? After that, you actually you put them in a state of bondage. Immediately after disarming them, now you put them into a state of bondage, and they become a what? A prisoner of what? Yours.
We all prisoners
Any
of war.
Person
man.
That
Don't forget
is
that
ever,
either.
What's that?
We are prisoners of war. We're occupied at this moment. Most of us don't think of it, but we are. We are prisoners of war. We are occupied until they release this pressure of killing black men for no apparent reason other than the fact that they're going back to the black slave codes, Negro slave code, Christian slave code. I done read all kind of stuff trying to find out how they justify their position. It's in those slave codes and the point where people are considered as chattel, chattle, who are owned by the Roman Catholic Church, chattel, animal, not a human person. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. We can do what we want with them.
Real estate.
So that's why I want my brothers to start reading these books Start reading up on this law, getting these books on them. The worst thing the last thing they want to see is a scholarly brother. I don't care. Have your dreads down to the flow, being them books on them. When you open your mouth, be down on them, punish them with your knowledge, man. We can do this.
Without a doubt. And you're absolutely right, Brother Rags. We are
freestyle. Free like birds and trees. Free like open seas.
And,
free like
hey, trees. Listen, we're going to go to a commercial break, Brother Rags. Hold on. We'll be right back after this. You listen to the Stand Up Radio Show, but the Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 641-715-3616. The subscription code is 54932. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
We got Americans dying behind gunfights, crooked cops, babies crying, presidents lying, black men are statistic AIDS, and this shit is quite twisted. The streets sweep, babies missing, and mamas wishing they daddies was there, and it makes me want to holler because it seems like we no longer care. Freestyle, free life, bring the street soldiers from this war in progress because it's on the street too, and it too is about greed and power. We need the government to wake up and take a true shower. We need us to get us free because they don't know what's best. Probably ain't never seen 7-year-old little boys wearing bulletproof vests to protect their chest because ghetto children run free, and they run free through free bullets that's ready to rip through chests. Free bullets ready to lay to rest anyone in their way. See, free bullets run free through playgrounds where ghetto children run free all day. Freestyle. Let me await to see the day when I am free like birds that fly high up in the sky. Flapping wings able to elevate while my mind accumulates thoughts of being free because my voice is not free like freedom of speech should be. Freestyle.
Freestyle. Radio show is live on Black Talk Radio Network Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. That's 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. As the announcement said, definitely, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the assistance code is 549032-POUND, and hit *61, we'll see you in the queue, and definitely would love to have a dialogue with you. A dialogue is much more important than a monologue, because we need to know and assess and develop our own agenda after the day. You know, we're talking to Brother Braggs, who's on, and we were just talking about some of the tactics that are being used. And I think one of the things is that we have to really understand is that we have to really reinvent ourselves from everything that we've been taught. We've been taught to be captive. We've been taught to participate in the system. We've been taught that the system works when we work in it, and all of these other things. And these are just propaganda. This is just propaganda and lies. And they tell it enough that we start to believe it. That we feel that we need to summon and we need to petition the system. And we need not to do that. All we need to do is take our energy, turn our back on it, and refuse to participate in it. And that your refusal to participate in it is so destructive to that system, it no longer can function. It will first ostracize you, then it will actually target you, then you will stand up to it, and then it will lose. That's the natural progression of things. When they can't beat you by their words, then they're physically going to attack you. Then when they can't beat you, then they will surrender. Because when you're doing and living by the great creator's way, you have to always have the moral high ground. That does not mean that you have to live in fear of what they say that they can do to you. Because no man can kill you because no man gave you life. It was a part of the life, but it was not the giver of the life. So it's so, so important for us to realize that we need to stop petitioning the system for what we want. If you want something, you need to collectively come together with people that are like-minded with you and develop it and make that happen. You don't give requests, you make a demand. I always firmly believe first you ask, then you tell, then you make. We are far out of the asking. We are far out of the telling. The only phase that we have left, the only position that we can have now, is now you make. and we want to ask and tell and not make. Huge, huge difference. And this is something that I believe has to turn around for us to see any meaningful gain and to get back the prosperity that has been lost, that has been, that is still waiting for us in the forms of the treasures of our ancients, in the forms of the treasures of our generations yet to be named. So that's, you know, something I really notice, and you know, I really have a, you know, I hate to hear when people are begging the system for it to include them. The system is doing right what it's supposed to do to you. Keep you in a position of disadvantage. Keep you struggling. Keep you without. Keep you begging. Keep you on your knees. Because any person that can't stand will never see the horizon of where they're going. And you know, it's so, so important. You know, Brother Brad, you know, as always, it's so much that you bring to, and you're absolutely right with, you know, we've been in many different fights, and we are some of the Indians of, you know, a part of that, because, you know, like Scotty talked about, you know, and we're going to have a show on the OMAC next week, I think it is. We got one coming up with you that's really important, that is in regard to some of the handlers, the very dangerous handlers that we're dealing with. And, you know, it's so funny that we have to really realize one of the first things, that you, most important things, and we all talk about this, is that we have to realize who the enemy is and their capability. And sure, you have to understand their capability. Because if you don't understand their capability, you'll never know where your position or where your opportunity to win is. You underestimate your enemy, you always ensure that you are underneath them. You will always ensure them. And we need to know some of these individuals and groups and organizations and these principalities and these energies, because if you don't know them, you will not be able to discern when they arrive and or when they come what to do once they come. Because these are some ancient, ancient arts that are being practice against our people, and they're being practiced because they work so well. They're not even being practiced, they're being implemented and tactically used. So important, Brother Bragg. So,
hey, look, man, I'm just going to throw this bomb on you just cause I can. Now, check this out. Oliver Cromwell Etiquette, 1653. Those who fail to transplant themselves to Clonoc or Clare within 6 months shall be guilty of high treason. You will then be sent into America or some other part beyond the sea. The Royal African Company sent 249 ships to the West Indies, sending 60,000 African and Irish into the Americas and West Indies. Make no mistake about it. These people are here in the colony with us. America is a huge colony spread over 50 states, and we have all been mingled together. Now, this is from the Negro Question Part 4, The Missing Link. And what this book tells you is about the Black Irish. The Constantine was Black. It shows you all these people in Europe that they got you thinking that were white and they're Black. And it's got the pictures and it's got the reference points where you can go and get it. Now, these books, I bought all five of them because I had seen a film and my man was pulling these pictures. You know, I'm a book fanatic, and pictures. I love pictures of old Black people that you never get to see. So I sent for all five of the books in a row. I got them all. So the information in these books, this is what I'm saying, man. This is our world. We just don't know it. All this stuff has been held back from us. Once we find out who we are, we'll stop acting crazy amongst ourselves and do what we have to do. We're the only people that don't pull together. We make everybody rich but ourselves. Everybody, look, I don't care what it is, we make them rich. If it's the funeral business, we're killing so many people, they stay in business, they pull up to the funeral house like it's a daggone driver. It's ridiculous. We gotta do better. We got to build. We got to stop hurting each other. We got to build. These people from outside, once we pull together, they're going to stop all that nonsense. But we must show a will. Now, when I was growing up, this will was everywhere. When I went into the service, I'm older than you. I know you probably never heard of a power check, but man, things were so. When a brother approached you, how's a brother? Brother Sharp, how's a brother? That told you this guy was on the same level you were and y'all was together. He had your back whether you knew him or not. That's how brothers, strangers approaching each other. That's how we greeted each other. And they broke that.
Say that again, Brother
Frank.
I missed it.
I'm sorry.
Say that again, Brother Frank. I missed.
When I was in the military, like, for instance, when I was in Germany, they did power checks. The Vietnam brothers, they did power checks. When a brother walked in the room in the mess hall, brother, a tap on the table, everybody in the mess hall, power check, everybody would get up and respond to the power check. I don't care if he was eating or not, everybody stop what they do and get up and get that power check. That showed everybody in the building and whoever was around, we was together. You hear what I'm saying?
Wow.
It was a different time. People ain't seen the things that I've been able to see. And they were able to break it up with this mass communication, this media. They took over Soul Train, they took over all our stuff. And they changed the way that we related to each other, this integration, which was really disintegration.
Right.
First thing that happened to us.
Destabilization, and really what it was destabilization. It destabilized.
Well,
right.
You destabilized your community and you built theirs. Because see, when we were segregated, our communities thrived, they flourished. We had anything that they had in our community. Matter of fact, you knew the people and they treated you well. It was the same people you would go hustle groceries for in front of the store. You know what I'm saying? I've been blessed to be around, and I'm thankful for it, no doubt.
Yeah, well, you know, because in within that, there was, you know, real intrinsical values. In everyone, you had your real doctor, you had your real electrician, you had your real mason, you had your real carpenter, and, you know, you had people that had intrinsical values outside of who they were, and then also who they were dictated what they were capable of doing. And that's why that was such a strong art of war move against the people, is integrate them and have them trying to always try to catch up to here, and they will leave where they are. You know, and I always say that gentrification never happened when other people started moving in, is when we started moving out. There was a gentrification that happened, that the selling of the ghetto was not the ghetto that we see in the neighborhood, but with the breaking up of our culture's independent twining, the tapestry of life that we had, that was the first gentrification and the breakup of our whole stability.
You got to look at how insidious it was, Dave. Once they broke us from our communities, the way that we were doing things, we had our own restaurants and everything where we ate and where we frequented.
Right.
Once we started using all the mass produced things, they started poisoning them. See, they couldn't poison us when we were closing to our communities because we didn't trust them then. But once we started going to their restaurants, we were so happy to be able to sit down there and eat. Oh, we're going to go down there and eat. These cats is poisoning me now. And nobody ever thought it's so insidious when you think about all this stuff. Man.
But it's the truth that has to be told, and I'm gonna tell you, you won't understand this unless you become an aficionado like you with books, and you start to read different things. Because every time you read a book, the harmonic energy of that book starts to resonate with you, and then you can start to ask questions from what you're reading. It doesn't take over your mind; it actually causes your mind to take ownership of itself. But TV and things of that nature do the opposite. You know, it totally does the opposite. And this is where it has moved us away from us. Because, you know, not every book that has been written is the truth, you know. Because, like William Churchill said, you know, history is kind of England because England will write it. Well, there are a lot of lying books. And there's some very popular lying books.
Well, and look, man, you got to remember this. The Europeans are the biggest liars that ever lived. All the histories are all lies. So if you don't want to see a race of liars, just look at the Europeans and our historians. Most of the historians were race soldiers. They spewed, it was complete bull squaddle about this superiority nonsense. But we won't even go into that. All I'm saying,
whether we
talk about Aristotle, most of these guys who studied supposedly under the Greeks, but the Greeks studied under the Egyptians and the Ethiopians, so they studied under the Africans, and everything comes from the African. The Greeks don't have anything without the Africans, without the Egyptians. They don't have anything.
Right. It was the erasing and the stealing of the overall cultural and the overall accomplishments of the sciences that was already regular. You know, it was practiced. It wasn't. It was actually science that was being implemented, and they had stolen and taken it and started to destroy the history of it, so that the only science that will be known is the secret science that they now have.
And see, Dave, that was that edict from Cromwell I just read you. That's what that edict was about. It was about the whitewashing of all things. They went into the churches. Now, check this, Pete. This is gang. All of those, most of those big, fabulous churches or whatever you want to call them, cathedrals and temples, those were built by the Moors. They had Christian Moors, they had Jewish Moors, and they had Jewish Moors. And they were black. They were all black. They built those buildings. Cromwell, once they overthrew the Moors, Cromwell went through, destroyed, he burned millions of Islamic books from the black Moors. All the paintings, he had the paintings actually repainted white. So people that they're portraying, some of the people they're portraying as European Caucasian, they're not actually European Caucasian, they're actually black people. Man, it's better than the movies, man. I tell my young people, I gotta get them like me. It's better than the movies, man. You can't make this shit up. That's what I'm saying.
Right. They so diluted it and so changed it in the lives because they can't have the people they can't allow the people to really know. This is why they have their secrets. This is why they have security clearances. This is why they have national security. You think that it's so that the empire will stay in place. It's just no, so that the people will stay in place, because they don't want the people to know who they really, really are. But hold on, brother. Guys, we got some other stuff that we definitely need to talk about. I want you to hold on and tell me what you think about some of these other stories. One of the stories that was so important that I posted today is that this one comes out. The EU takes member states to court over bail-in laws to protect taxpayers. Now, this is really, really important. I posted this inside of Tando. And basically what is happening is this, is that the EU countries and members, the European Union members had passed a law in 2013 that they were going to reform their overall financial system, and that the fourth of these laws were going to go into effect in January 1, 2015, but the bail-in portion for all the members had to be done by January 1st, tomorrow, 2016. Well, there were five countries that refused to participate in the bail-in program, and now the EU is taking them to court. The EU take member states to court over bail-in laws, and this is what this means. They basically, they write it so you would think, to protect taxpayers. This is an oxymoron. A bail-in is against taxpayers, so how the hell are you going to protect them? This is what happens with the bail-ins, and I know you know, Brother Bragg, but it's so important that we need you to know. This economic crisis that we're in right now is heating up, and they're going to, what happens in Europe is going to happen there first. Before we, a week ago, with the show, we had this show about Greece and everything else. One of the things that I wanted to get to with everyone is to show them the overall progression of things and to chronicleize where we are right now. And where we are right now is that they've already passed the law for bail-ins. Now they're starting to implement them, and they're going to start to punish any country that does not have any bail-in law. And this is significant because as we speak right now in Italy, and pretty soon in Portugal and Hungary and a couple of other countries, they've already started bailing people in within the European Union, and it's quietly being done, but it is being done, but the mainstream media is not following it. Why is this so important? You have to know what bail-in means. They are not going to bail out the banks. And the bail out of the banks, either way it goes, taxpayer is nothing more than you, the individual.
You're the collateral.
They just they've stolen your tax money. Your tax money is being fraudulently used, and they're going to increase your taxes by means of fraud, which is called carbon taxes, and it's called the global warming taxes. They're going to start taxing you for air. They're going to start taxing your car for emissions and all of these things. This is you being bailed in one aspect so that you can bail out others. But the main bail-in rule is this, is in the banking institutions. They are going to have banks fail, and the first thing that the banks are going to do is steal every single person that has an account with them cash, and take that cash, and they're going to use it to settle the debt. That's called a bail-in. Guess what's going to happen also? This is going to tell you how fly and slick these people are. Your bank may not even fail. Let's say you have a bank of, a bank. What's the bank that's here? Brother Bragg, just name any bank. Bank of
Chase,
America.
Chase.
You have a Chase account. Okay? Let's say a bank in Illinois fails. The Bank of Illinois. Okay, I'm just using this as an example. The Bank of Illinois fails and it bails in all of their depositors. Every person that goes in there that has a checking account, savings account, has any ties to that bank. One, first thing that they do is take all of their cash out of their account, and they limit them to being able to, the individual person can't go into the bank and take their cash out. They'll tell them, no, you can only take it, the limit is $50 a day, and only from this time period, from 2 to 4. Well, then there's 10,000 people in line, and you're not going to, they're only going to see, they already know how much cash that they have on hand, so they limit the window on when they're going to make that cash available, and they're going to make it only in these increments of $50, $25, or $40 a day. When they have less cash, they're going to give out less, and they're going to close the window for it to be open even longer. And they know that the lines are going to be so long, and then they're not even going to open the bank at all. So this is what happens. You have the Bank of Illinois. That bank goes under. You are a Chase member. You don't even have an account with them, but you didn't even know that that the Bank of Illinois was a subsidiary of Chase, and then they bail you in, and you didn't even have an account at Illinois Bank, and they're going to take your funds. This is what they did with MS Global. That was the setup for what's coming now, and it's already being instituted, and it's happening in Europe as we speak right now. And it's so, so important for you as an individual people that are listening by way of, that listen to Tando Radio, so that listen to Black Talk Radio Network, is for you to prepare and make way for this as soon as you possibly can. Because in the future, you can't even go to the bank and take all of your cash out, because guess what? It'll be a crime. They're actually prosecuting a former House of Representatives, senator, as we speak now, for corruption. And the corruption that he committed was not any of the corruption. He probably committed a bunch of corruption, because that's what they do. But see, the biggest problem was this, was he took all of his cash out of the bank, and that was the crime. And they're even going to get the politicians and the other people too. And so if you try to run to the bank and take out all of your cash, it's going to be this is where you're going to get a SARS report, suspicious activities report, and it's going to be reported to the police, and then guess what? You're going to be arrested in the future for trying to take all of your cash out of the bank. These are the laws, and this is the policies and the procedures that are being put into place as we speak right now. While everybody's worrying about going out on the New Year's Eve tonight and going to a party and doing all this other stuff, when they should be preparing for the party that's going to be played on them. Mm-hmm. For the countdown that's being incrementally counted off until the economic collapse is in full blown, where every person in this country is seeing, feeling it, and having to deal with it in a position of disadvantage instead of being in a position of advantage to seize on opportunities that are being in store. These people have created these laws throughout the world for one reason, because they plan on using them. They plan on using them. And it's so important for us to know what's going on. Pretty soon you will not be able to go to the bank to take it all out, but there are things that you need to do. There are things that you need to prepare for, and there are things that you actually need to position yourself with while you still can. Because as the capital controls start to kick off, you are not going to be able to get past them, from factor to the capital controls, to the bank holidays, to the bank bail-ins, to the overall employment crash that's going to happen, and the overall debt bubble that's going to burst, where they're going to actually have debtors' prisons in the future for people like that.
Hey, Dave, remember this too, Dave. We had a time too. This is the first time in American history where America was ever going to have to pay millions and millions of black people pensions, all coming to fruition at the same time. I'm saying this is monumental, man. Things that people don't pay attention to. First time in history, all these black people have work jobs, they're retiring, they're about to draw pensions, they're about to draw Social Security, they're getting ready to drop a monkey wrench in the whole program. I tell people that too. They don't like me to say that. And I hate to say it out loud, but man, I got to be a realist.
That's well, what I'm going to tell you something, brother Bragg. I'm going to tell you. A man and a woman that speaks the truth doesn't have any friends. You don't need, any friends. You don't need any friends. And I'm going to tell you, and another thing is this. The truth always separates those that are valid to those that are cowards. Cowards never like to look at the truth. They want to live in the Alice in Wonderland fairy tale that has been promised to them by a little box called the television. Yeah. And if they can't get that, and if they can't get what they've been so-called promised and what they've been paying into or what they've been told that they were going to get by the system, by the program, here it comes. Ready, Brother Bragg? By the man.
By the man.
See, a lot of people don't care what the man does.
And they don't even know. They don't know they're getting played, Dad.
No. A lot of people don't care what the man does as long as they don't do it to them. Well, the man has no loyalty to you at all. You are cattle to them. That's why there's no Social Security number.
Coyum. That's terrible,
too. Subject. But see, you're only beholden to that Social Security number if you allow yourself to be. They can never corral you until you bow down. You know, it's kind of like the wild horse. You remember the cowboys? Those were brothers. That's why they call them cowboys.
Thank you. Tell them again, Dave. Say it again. They don't get it. Say it again, Dave. They called them cowboys. They didn't have no white cowboys. They was black cowboys. That's who ran the
West. All brothers.
That's who settled the land.
All brothers, right, that were able to tame the wildest of horses. They were able to tame different things. And because of that, they called them cowboys. And these individuals were able to tame some of the wildest animals, particularly the horses, which is very, very dangerous and very difficult to tame a wild horse. You have more capability and power and horsepower than a horse does. And it has to be, and you have to be tamed from your wildness. What is your wildness? Think about it. They make that term being wild, they ostracize. And they try to isolate that term being wild. What does it mean to be wild? What it means
to not be governed? Is that bad to not be governed? That's what wild is, not to be governed.
Right, not to be
governed. To not be controlled.
Not to be controlled. And most important thing is to be as the great creator intended you to be.
Free.
As the great, wild means untamed by man.
Sovereign. Sovereign priest.
And this is what they want you to be. And so many of us are that because we were born into it. But then there's a very few of us that remain wild in spirit, wild in nature, wild in heart, wild in harmonic frequency. So those individuals become a real problem to the system. And the people that do not, they just want to get along to go along. Those individuals, you are a threat to them, and they don't like you. Let me tell you, the truth never has a place among those that want to lie and bury them. Listen, we got to get ready to go through a commercial break. You're listening to the Sandow Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about these bank bailouts that are happening? We're going to come back and talk about this. And most importantly, we need to talk about what it is that you need to do. Get in on the conversation. Give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 5490-32-pound, *61. We're listening to the Sandow Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
That is, and until we have a chance to heal, we are likely to continue to do things to hurt each other. And whenever a person of African descent is harmed, an injury to one is an injury to all.
Welcome back, everyone, to Sandow Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, aka Dave from LA, and we have on us with us one of our special callers, Devin Braggs. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Because we are moving into a time in which we need to start to really formulate a plan for our own individual selves, our families, and our overall culture and community to maintain it. So important. So if you'd like to get in on a conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 5490-32-POUND, and hit *61. Just before we went to the commercial break, we were talking with Brother Bragg. He talked about the EU states are now suing some of the member states because they have not implemented the bail-in process to be started by tomorrow. Now, does that mean that they're going to start bailing people in tomorrow? No, they've already started bailing people in. It started about 2 months ago. It actually started 2 years ago, but they're actually starting to do it in a more vast way. Italy is under bail-in practices right now. Different banks in Italy. There's a couple of other countries that are under bail-in practices. I believe Poland and Hungary are probably some of the ones. Some of the research that I'm doing shows that. And there's a couple of other European countries that are under the bail-in process. All of Europe is so totally destabilized right now. There was a Swiss general that told the people of Switzerland to arm themselves and to prepare for civil unrest running rampant all throughout Europe, and they are worried that Switzerland can be run over by the refugees and by the civil unrest that's going on there. And if you know anything about Switzerland, one of the things, and I know Brother Bragg knows this, one of the things that Switzerland ensures among their people is this, that every house has a rifle to defend itself.
Man,
every
they don't play. Every generation, what did they have, like four generations? They had the great-grandfather, the grandfather, then they had the father, his son. Every last one of them was issued a rifle by the government. Even women, and they have to go down, and they're trained to use them, break them down, put them back together. So they keep a statewide militia at the ready at all times. And guess what? High education, zero crime.
Say that again, Brother Guy.
High education, zero crime. The whole populace is armed, down to the little girl. The little girls are armed.
Right. Let me tell you something. In that country, everyone is polite. Now, is someone the place that's polite to us? No, but see, this is the thing about it. Is you need to learn some different things that work. This is why they will survive. They will continue. If you know the history of the Swiss, which we'll talk about later on in the show, and they play into this whole banking cabal also. This is why they make sure, as Brother Bragg just said, every single person there is issued a rifle from the government.
And they can use it too. All of them are trained to use them too, down to the little girls. They will take you out.
Yep. They are not afraid of their government. Their government is afraid of not protecting them. Huge difference. Huge, huge difference. And, you know, some of you people that don't believe in guns, I just will say this. God forbid, I'm not wishing this on any person, but I've been there, so I don't have to say how I would act. I've been there where people have shot at me and everything else. I know how I will react. But this is the thing. This is what you don't want. You don't want someone that has a weapon and you don't have a weapon because they have the advantage and you don't. And the only thing that you're going to be doing is begging for your life, not defending your life.
Hey, Dave, tell them one more time, Dave. One more time. Say that one more time, Dave.
I mean, that's the truth. In all of those instances, throughout all of the instances that this government is promoting right now, why they want to take the guns, every single one of those instances, if you were there, you would have been begging for your life instead of defending your life. There's a big, huge difference. When you have the ability to defend, you have the ability to win. When you have the ability to beg, you will be slaughtered. You only have the opportunity at slaughter.
Say it again, Dave. That's what they do to a slaughter.
And those individuals throughout this country and throughout this world that think that they can beg for their life at slaughter, they're always falling on deaf ears. It's always falling on deaf ears.
Look, let's look at Israel. Let's look at Australia. Let's look at Africa right now. Every place that people are unarmed, they walk in and they slaughter them, just like he's saying. And guess what? It's us. It's people that look like us all around the world that this is happening to. And that's another thing. People have to, man, you got to get in these groups. You got to open. You got to see what's going on. This is a worldwide, I'm not going to call it phenomenon. This war has been going on, I guess, probably since we ever encountered these people. Simple as that. And if you start reading up, you're going to find out this is an ongoing, this is like a blood feud for some reason. We're the only ones that's not aware of it because we were taught not to be aware of it. But when you start reading these books, you're going to see these people have been in perpetual war with themselves until they sat down somewhere and got together and decide we're going to take everything that this black race on the planet has. And they came together. The guns that they used were created by the black man, not Marco Polo. The Moors had guns. They had what they call bang sticks. They were guns. But they didn't use the guns on the people. They used swords and knives, and they didn't do to the people what the people did to them. The people took the gun and they developed it. They took that gun and they went to every place that we were and walked in where families were and slaughtered them. Just what David said, they slaughtered them because they didn't have a chance against the weapons. They came in with dogs and guns. So
that's the difference between turning the cheek and defending your life. You can turn the cheek if someone hurts you. You can turn the cheek if someone mildly, insults you. If someone
you turn the cheek if they kill you.
There's a difference between being sick and someone trying to kill you. You don't get to turn a cheek on someone trying to kill you. You absolutely don't. And it's not something that you should ever, ever put yourself in a position by someone else that's trying to, you know, I'm going to just say it plainly. The very same terrorists are telling you to disarm yourself. Think about what they've been doing throughout this world, acts of terror. And then now the terrorists are telling you to disarm yourself. I don't care who they put in front of you. It could be one of the this person, this famous person, or that famous person. I ain't gonna call it out any name. These people of influence, these people that you admire, and all of that. If people are telling you to beg for your life, you need to kick them in their ass. And tell you better go on with that.
Hey Dave, where do we live, man? This is the thing. Where do we live? We live in a country. If you watch anything in this society, Dirty Harry, Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger, whichever cuckoo white man they have up today to massacre something, it's their way of life, and they have desensitized you to people being shot dead on the street, which you shouldn't be. It should be startling. It should be. To me, it's still I've lost two children. I'm still traumatized by people getting killed. It pisses me off. Because for what?
Yeah.
So somebody could have 50 cents, a dollar, $50, $100. Man, listen, some things intangible. No value can be placed on something, as far as I'm concerned. Life is one of those things I feel is sacred. You know, you, if you can't produce it, you shouldn't be able to take it. You can't give it back.
That's it. You can't produce it.
So who gives you the authority to take life indiscriminately, whether it be man, woman, child, or animal? What matter of beast are you? No conscience? Those are the things that bother me, because as I sit and watch things in a Christian nation, and I'm going to stop right there. Let me stop.
Yeah, it's disheartening. So, hey, Scotty, if we get another caller, I lost the, got the feedback. Okay, cool. Got back. So, yeah, it's so important that we understand the times that we're in and where we are. We need to stop, once again, stop petitioning for your freedom and start walking and creating, start building your freedom. If you build your freedom, then there will be no need for you to write a petition for it, or to march for it, or to assemble before a legislative body for it. They can't do anything for you. You surrendered your freedom once you participated by their rules, because their overall design is to maintain control and rule over you. Think that they're going to give you anything? It's foolish. And I'm just going to say this one last thing before we move on to this next subject, which is very important. Remember this. Every person that was, even if this was a false flag or whatever, every person that was murdered in these mass shootings that didn't have any way to defend themselves, they had to hide, they had to beg, they had to plead, they had to hope that they wouldn't have been found by the person with a weapon. Someone else, you think about it. The people that don't want to have, that want to take away guns, if someone comes into a place and starts shooting, what's the first thing you're going to do? Is you what? Call somebody with a gun. I don't call nobody. That's an after effect. If I need to deal with something, because I've been there, I know when they're going to get there. They're going to get there to take a report and to investigate the crime scene. You don't want to be a part of the crime scene.
Right.
So the most important thing is for you to be able to defend yourself at an appropriate time. Now those individuals that do things that have guns legally and they commit a crime, guess what? They have a system for that. They become a lawbreaker. That's a police problem now. So don't worry about what other people are going to do. You got to worry about what you can do and protect you and your family. Not from the individual, but from the actual terrorists that are real. Because there's something about these. They are real. The terrorists are real. But see, what they do is they come in a three-piece suit, and you call them senator, congressman, king, president, ambassador, CEO, baron, and you call them people of influence. Those are the real, real terrorists. See, they don't present themselves that way. Because the devil always comes in the Sunday's best. That's what we really need to know. So, but we got to move on. There's a couple of things. Brother Bags, also, check this out, Brother Bags. I posted one of the things that I want to really have everyone listen to, check out is that we already talked about it. Europe is actually tab bail-in. Also, another major thing is that it's a good article, a crisis worse than ISIS. Banking bail-ins begin. Your life savings could be wiped out in a derivative exposure. That's a really, really good article. Everyone here needs to read that. This is what I don't want to just say. These are some of the things that you need to be doing right now. One, every single person here needs to put away provisions of food, water, protection, in real money now while you still can. Because there are so many people that aren't going to do that. businesses aren't going to do it. I just passed a very, very successful business on my way home. I mean, this business was huge. This business is huge. How successful it is. If they haven't prepared for this economic collapse, they're going to be given their proven successful business and handing it over to someone for pennies on the dollar. Because if they do not know what's coming, they don't know how to protect themselves from what it is. And they're going to have to sell their assets for pennies on the dollar. This is why you always hear me say that the opportunities are going to be bad. I would say one, have a precious metals class, get in on that class.
Just put them down. I'll get them. So cool.
This class is definitely something that you want to take. And then there are some other opportunities that we're going to have in 2000 and in the coming year and in the coming days and months that is going to offer some real protection. And give you a little example of one. Of course, once Dr. Alexander comes, that's one. But there's another great opportunity that I've come across that is so important. We have to learn to become prodigious in phases. Now, what do I mean by that? There are actual ways in which you could write off your car note, your mortgage. Everything that you have can be a donation, and you can receive it back at the end of the year or receive it and protect it. There are legal protection things that you need to institute now, and we're going to bring some of those things to you. Some of them are going to, be relatively is going to have some monetary commitment, but what they offer you is far beyond what it is, and there's some real protection to where you can have your home written off, your car. Your car that you buy, that you have right now, if you have debt on it, you can get out of debt, contractual debt, the right way where it's not in your name at all. And not only that, everything that you pay into it comes back to you. This is something that a practice that we have to engage in, that some people have been knowing about and protecting themselves with in the future. And you want to take advantage of every small thing that you can before this thing blows up. You need to position yourself currency-wise in the right position before this happens. Because if you're not in the right currency position and you're just holding cash, you're going to get smashed because the value of the dollar is going to be lost. So we're going to have some people come on and talk to you about that, how to protect yourself in that means, and how to position yourself so right now as we speak that you can gain some of the benefits. And you have to become a prodigious saver. You have to stop paying for things. What do I mean by that? You can make an initial investment, but that investment has to return to you as quickly as possible. You have to stop paying for things. You have to stop going into the law. You have to be in the black. And then that way you can take that which you spend for your mortgage, your car note, any bills that you have, some of the bills that you have, generally most of them. There are ways that you can position it to where that can be a savings plan for you, and then that currency can come back to you, and then you can get real assets so that when this bank bail-ins and this collapse of the economy happens, those that did not prepare, you will be able to go in and get their proven work, that work working for you. Because I'm going to tell you, some intrinsical value things are still going to be there. But the thing is that they have to be controlled by you. We are moving out of debt, out of the debt paradigm, and into the asset-based one. You have to secure the assets as soon as possible. I don't care if you just if you just acquire a few assets, that's much better than having none at all. Because all of these pensions are going to be lost. They already have been lost. They've already been stolen. Brother Bragg laid it out. All of these people are now are starting to cash in. There's no way in the world that these fees and these, you can never beat the house. You can never gamble and beat the house. When you go to Vegas and they give you a free drink, they make you pay $500 for whatever it is that you have in that glass. they get it from you and they give you a free room because they know that they're going to get back everything that they've given you and then some. And they're going to get it from you participating in the house gambling where the house never loses and you never win. It's the exact same fraud. You get you with a fraud. The casino style gambling of Vegas has moved into the financial markets and have been established into the financial markets for years. And you're about to lose. Snake eyes is being drawn up. And you have to protect yourself. Regardless of where your economic status is, you know, to look at different people if you're interested, regardless of where you are, there is something that you still can do. Even the person, there are some things that you need to be taking. You may think, oh, I don't make a lot, I don't get this. Whatever it is that you do, and your energy of labor is put out, and you have to return that in an investment of assets that will protect the labor that you just expended to get it. You got to stop paying, and you got to start earning. This is what we're going to help you with here in the future. So important, and it's something every person that listens to Black Talk Radio Network and every person that listens to Kando, you need to be engaging in, because you won't be able to say you didn't know. And there are a lot of schemes and scams that are there. If you're not gaining tangible assets and getting it, and the person that is teaching you this thing is showing you how to do it absent of them, and you're not paying them to be a consultant where they do all of the work, don't tell you anything, and you just pay them, and they say, okay, well, this is what you earned, and you don't know how you earned it, or you can't earn it absent of them. Everything that I teach you and what we teach you, once you learn it, you don't have to do it with us anymore. You don't need to do it with us, because I don't believe in how this ubiquitous fraud is done in the market, where you work for me. No, you need to work for you. You need to be taking care of yourself. So we're going to be starting that real soon in the very, very, very near future. We're going to bring some people in that can protect you, and we're going to teach you. I don't care where you are, and especially for all of the young people, you need to learn how to become a saver now, because the economic climate is totally, totally changing. And you need to be in on it. Also, Puerto Rico is going to default on it's not going to be able to pay its $1 billion interest. They're not even talking about the principal. They can't even pay the interest anymore. They're going to default on some of, there's no such thing as defaulting on some. They've already in default once they weren't able to pay the interest. So Puerto Rico is going to go into further default, and it's going to only get worse from there, and Puerto Rico will be the grief, and Puerto Rico will probably be the reason why the bank bail-ins at the bank that you bank at is going to start. There will be no way to get around it from credit unions and all this other thing, because it's much larger than that. This is going to be a default of the currency. It's going to be a default on how you're paid. The wage of a king of gold, the wage of a lady and gentleman of silver, and the wage of a slave is debt. The debt is going to default. Every person that's paid a debt wage is going to be in default. Everyone here that is paid in cash is like Puerto Rico. It's like Greece. It's like Italy. It's like Portugal. They're all in default. You are too. So we want to protect you from that into
Hey, Brother Dave, and I know, you know, we're, what y'all been going through with that inclement weather down there, but I was wondering if you had heard about, you know, that Iranian, the latest, incident between the United States, I think it's a naval ship, in the Strait of Hormuz, yes. And, now they're yes. in the United States looking to pass new sanctions on Iran and whatnot, and saying, you know, like, you know, they're provoking them or did something like that. But I'm like looking at that, like, you know, this is exactly what they wanted, you know, anyway. And all, you know, all the saber rattling that we have been hearing coming from Congress and whatnot. President Obama really hasn't been talking about it that much, but, you know, the usual suspects, you know, that are, mm-hmm. are in business for the military industrial complex, and they are now talking about a new round of sanctions. And so I'm like, man, it seemed like, you know, that things are really starting to escalate, you know, with the thing with Russia, their jet being shot down, and now this incident in the waters between Iran and the United States. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. What happened is that actually Iran has been expanding its missile defense program and its missile capabilities, and now the U.S. wants to sanction them. And Iran says, we don't care what you're going to do. There's no new sanctions or anything is going to stop us. And then the Strait of Hormuz is a very, and Scotty, you know the importance of that, because that is a very narrow strait, and it's a very shallow strait. And that's where 50% of the world oil travels through there to get from that area to the rest of the world. This is purposely being done, and this is also why the price of oil is going down. I believe that the price of oil can actually reach in the teens now. There are some reports saying that the price of oil could actually go down to $20, $19 a barrel. This is all a part of what Scotty was just talking about, and we're definitely going to pick this up tomorrow with this war program, because this is real. One of the things that you're going to see is that they're going to attack you on multiple fronts to keep you completely confused. And that Strait of Hormuz is huge, because without the energy, there is no flow of the economy. And this is something that's going to devastate the economy and cause a lot of jobs to be lost and cause the debt to explode. Because if you don't have an economy, you don't have any way to pay your debt. And guess what? In those contracts of debt, it says nothing about war, you being absent or being forgiven because of war. You still have that debt. And this is all a part of the whole play. Also, if you look, Iraq is now engaging in a war with Turkey, and also they want the United States totally out. They sided with Russia. Also, the Philippines became a part of the investment infrastructure bank. Excuse me, the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. They were the last country in as part of the founding members of the AIIB. This is huge. They so-called have a dispute with China over the South Sea territories and islands. But guess what? Trade deals have a way of turning enemies. Big business deals have a way of turning enemies friendly. Philippines have just turned their back on the U.S. and is going towards China. You're going to see that move throughout the world. This overall war and the geopolitical situation is breaking out big, big time. Okay, everyone, hey, that's the show. We will definitely be back tomorrow, and we're going to pick it up from here. We're going to talk more about some of the things that we have in preparation. Oh, shoot, you had to call it. Hold on a second. Brother David, you there? Sister David, you there?
Hey, brother, I just wanted to call and let everybody know we're in for another year, and I'm wishing the best, and I'm looking for the best, and I'm keeping everybody connected as best we can to let them know they ain't in this alone, and we could do this together. So I just want to let y'all know that we're going into a new year as of 12 o'clock at night. I'll seek to meet you on the other side, healthy, wholehearted, and focused on what we're trying to achieve here. So y'all be blessed.
Hey, Brother David, give us a call tomorrow, God willing, if you can, because there's a lot of stuff we need to talk about. Much love to you and Sister Davis, Brother Bragg. Thank you so much. Much love to you, Scotty. Thank you, and God willing, we'll be back tomorrow. Remember, before you ask for a blessing, make sure to be a blessing, and it's never goodbye. It's always, I'll see you later. And until then, be safe, be sound, and most important, be sovereign. Much love and much respect. Talk to you later. Peace.
Peace. Peace.
Peace.
Girl, you are rich, even with nothing. come from pain. It's a